A Lifetime original podcast.
I'm sorry. I'm having a hard time keeping it all straight.
No, you know you're doing an incredible job. I'm like, where's the dead baby necklace?
I love a Lifetime movie.
I feel like there's a very what happened to baby Jane energy to her.
Yeah, don't you dare touch my baby Ruth. Get your damn hands off my Snickers.
But honey, Lisa don't take that well. And that's when it pops off.
I feel like every day of my life is false victimhood.
I'm like, hold up, what? Hold up, what?
Get out of the car, Lisa.
Karen, you seem upset.
I am not upset. I am livid. I know you made that call. I thought you didn't have any money, Lisa, but you went out and you got my car. Tell the truth.
Hey, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of I Love a Lifetime Movie. I am one of your hosts, Naomi Ekparagon, joined by the stunning, booked, busy, blessed Megan Gailey. Hey, girl, hey.
Hi, Naomi. Right now, I'm only booked on this podcast. I'm looking, quote unquote, stunning because I did an audition before this that was 12 pages long.
Oh my God. That is insane and unnecessary.
Well, it was for like 6 different characters.
Oh, okay. So
I think they were trying
bit.
To see like how different can you be, but it was, oh my gosh. I felt like a Lifetime woman. I was like, who am I? Where am I? What's happening? Like took like yanked in a bunch of different directions.
But so that's perfect.
Well, that's
perfect practice. You know what I mean? Like, what if we write this Lifetime movie where you're a woman with dissociative identity disorder? You know, like maybe you will have to call on all 6 of these characters from this audition. Think about it.
Well, now I want to disassociate from who I just was because I forgot to ask you how you're doing.
Oh, my God, girl. Same old, same old. I am doing all right. Doing stand up until my lips fall off. I swear. Mm-hmm. Running these streets. But good. Megan, this movie is a fun one. Like, truly just classic Lifetime, classic LT, giving us the goods. The movie we are going to talk about today is The Neighbor in the Window.
Ooh!
All right, starring the one, the only, Jamie Lynn Sigler.
Wow.
Loving Meadow Soprano, all grown up.
A movie star. She's an absolute powerhouse movie star. I feel like when we got the title of it, I was like, oh, I read this book. And it wasn't this book. There's just so many women in windows. We got a woman in a window. We got a neighbor in a window. We got the rear window. We got the front window. We got the kitchen door window. A lot of windows and a lot of people looking through them to do... I don't know if there's ever been a window-based title where it wasn't, like, ominous.
Yeah, where it wasn't creepy. Exactly. No, windows are terrifying. I keep my shades closed, you know? Mostly because I don't want any sort of window situation in my life. Okay? Mm-hmm. Don't look at me. I don't want to look at you. I don't want to see a shadow move and think there's a murder.
Mm-hmm.
So keep them shut. All right? Now, if you guys are listening and you have not yet watched The Neighbor in the Window, I don't know what you're doing. You need to get it together. Join the Lifetime Movie Club and watch this. But if you haven't, I'll break it down for you. The Neighbor in the Window is like a psychological thriller about a woman and her family who move into a new home and find themselves terrorized by their next door neighbor. Honey, ooh, you think you've seen it before, but you haven't. You know what I mean? Because, like, in this movie, we are getting lesbian allies.
Okay.
We are getting...
Home decor tips.
Home decor tips. We are getting Christmas recital attacks? Question mark?
We are getting supportive husbands?
Whoa.
Even
what?
Bigger question mark.
We are getting... so many made-up illnesses, you and I had to go to WebMD, okay? There was so much to unpack. You guys, it also ends in a courtroom moment of drama.
Yeah.
That is for the ages, honey.
Woo.
The focus is on Karen Morgan and Lisa Beasley, these neighbors who you think are going to be friends, and then it turns sour real fast.
Oh, no. It sounds like what I did to my neighbors.
Oh, no.
I am in a garbage war, unbeknownst to them, with my neighbors. I have decided, whether it's real or not, that they have stolen one of our recycling bins. And because we used to have two, and they had one at that house, and then these people moved in, and now they have two, and we have one.
What?
So tell me where.
Oh, yeah,
so,
they took it.
I mean, that's math. You know, I'm not even good at math, but it's like we had to where, and they do this thing where they will move our trash cans will sometimes be on their side of the driveway, and then they'll move it over to our side of it. Like they're way too comfortable. They're way too comfortable touching our trash.
Do they ever have they ever said anything? Do they ever say anything? Or is it just literally just it's done? When you come out, they have done the thing. Or do they go, hey, can you move your trash?
Okay, so this is not good. We have actually never spoken face to face. They have heard me talk shit about them to their gardener. So
okay, that is very Lifetime. That is very Lifetime. To be talking to the gardener, spilling tea. I love that very,
so
very much.
I am the villain in this Lifetime movie, but I just want you to know that I'm not a bad person.
That's for us to decide. Okay, Megan?
Okay.
We make that call. I think it's so funny considering that we are here to talk about the movie, The Neighbor in the Window.
Yeah, that's us.
Okay. We're literally The Neighbor in the Window. All right, y'all. It's already getting intense. Let's get into it.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
The whole point is, this is a story of a woman terrorized. A woman terrorized by her very neighbor and her struggling to get her life back. Don't you think she was trying to just get it back, Megan?
Yeah, I mean, when someone moves to Seattle, you're already like, they're making a change.
Exactly.
They are, I don't think Karen, Jamie Lynn, is running from her demons.
Yes.
But I think she's like, we are in Seattle, and Miles and Scott and I, we are going to have a fresh start here. And when someone is looking for a fresh start, you know that they are not going to get that fresh start.
Exactly. Exactly. So, as you know, Megan has already told you, Jamie Lynn plays Karen Morgan, a young mother of 6-year-old Miles and a wife to Scott Morgan, who actually we like.
Yeah,
but we'll
get
there.
He's a top-tier husband.
He's a good husband. He's a good husband. And so they move to a beautiful home.
I like the cul-de-sac on this one. Seems safe for playing outside.
Yeah, you're right. It's a great family neighborhood. It's lots of kids. And there's a great elementary school just 2 miles away.
Mm-hmm. But the home's big drawback, well, first of all, its big selling point, large, gorgeous windows.
Windows.
Honey, they do a walkthrough, and it's covered in these blackout curtains. It almost looks haunted. And then Karen, I want to call her Jamie, but it's like, she's Karen. Karen opens the shades, and that light just pours in.
Yeah.
It pours in.
These windows are stunning. Why would anyone block out all this lovely light?
It's like when they get there too, I love the realtor. She's like, I'm sorry about, you know, she's sort of like shuffling and moving things about. But as we'll learn, Karen has the magic touch. And really all that needed to happen was to pull those blinds back.
Give Karen a little light. Just give her a little light and she's got the rest. And the one drawback though to the home is that it shares a backyard.
Yeah.
That's the problem there. It shares a backyard. So that's going to force her to be close with her neighbors, the Beasleys, mm-hmm. you know? And that's really not what she wants. But again, we start off with them finding this house, all right? This beautiful house with gorgeous windows, letting light pour in. And they get settled pretty quickly, right? I feel like they're like, we live here now. Miles is starting school.
Yes.
And it's like all about it. And then within, I don't know, 2 seconds, a neighbor pops by to introduce mm-hmm. herself.
Mm-hmm. Hi. Oh. I'm Susie, your neighbor across the street. I just saw you drive in and wanted to come say hi and make sure to give you these. Oh. They're my special carrot and apple muffins. Vegan, in case you were.
And that's Susie. Susie's the first one we meet.
Yeah. And Susie has really, really fun hair. Mm-hmm. And so you kind of know she's not going to be the troubling neighbor.
Like, isn't that so true?
Yeah. If a woman has like a fun curl, you're like, yeah. Oh, she's going to be safe. Right. We're going to be able to rely on Susie.
Yeah, a trustworthy person. Also, though, I felt like when I saw Susie, I was surprised. I was like, wow, she has curly hair. And then I was like, representation matters. Mm-hmm. Like, we don't see mm-hmm. enough just like curly haired ladies out there.
And it takes about 35 minutes before we ever even find out that Susie is a lesbian.
I love it. Woke lifetime.
Yeah. Susie just comes in. She's fun. She's cool. But she doesn't walk through the door and be like, my wife and I want to welcome you, which I feel like happens a lot. But then we end up getting to a cookout, which we will get into. And I'm like, wait, who is with Susie? I don't know. I see Susie in this whole new hip Seattle fun lesbian vibe. Right, and it really, right. I'm like, now I almost kind of, I want an offshoot of Susie's day to day.
Exactly. The neighbor in the window too, colon Susie's life.
Yes.
Because there's so much to know going on with Susie. But we start off, Susie comes in, introduces herself, and you know, Karen's like, tells us all, like, you know, Scott got a new job here. This is why we moved. We're getting set up. Dorothy Peacock Elementary School.
Yeah.
And Susie is just, you know, the thing we first learn about Karen, you know, right away is that she is a gifted interior designer.
Yes. It's referenced in the empty home.
Yes.
And then by the time Susie comes, we are able to see the home goods transformation that is Karen's decorating style.
Exactly. And you guys, if you think we are exaggerating, just listen to all this decorating love.
Yeah, this one's a master decorator. She's probably already picking out new curtains.
Oh, wow. You've been busy. Everything looks so fresh and new.
Gosh, I just love what you've done with the place. Especially those gorgeous throw pillows.
Oh my gosh, you gotta give me your decorator's number. This is gorgeous.
Thank you. Actually, I don't have a decorator. It's all me. It's kind of a hobby.
Everyone's floored. Everyone's obsessed. They like live for a throw pillow, live for a rug. It was like a teal pillow and people lost it.
You gotta give me your interior decorator. So, these are nice homes, but I'm not thinking of these homes as like, oh, every single person has an interior decorator. Like,
right.
It looks like a Pinterest board.
Yeah.
It's not, yeah. Karen is not breaking the mold here.
Exactly.
Here's a bookcase. We're going to fill it up. And they're like, wow.
She has a color scheme.
Wow.
Karen knows a color scheme. And they're like, wow. And so the thing is, Karen from the jump is like set up as like this wonderful woman. You know what I mean? Like great designer. She's so friendly. She's really, you know, about her son and getting him into the best school. So we're already team Karen. And mm-hmm. that's what I love so much is that this really does a lot to rehabilitate a Karen image, you know, in society. This really is saying Karens can be good.
The Karen, the quote Karen is not the Karen in this film.
Exactly.
And that's a fun turn on the head.
That's a turn on the head. Our Karen is actually neighbor Lisa Beasley, who is sharing the backyard with Karen.
Hi.
Hi.
You must be the new neighbors.
Yeah.
I'm Lisa Beasley. I live on the other side of the street, and we share a backyard.
Oh, of course. I'm so glad you came by. I'm Karen Morgan. This is Miles.
Hi. Hello.
Megan, how did you feel when Lisa Beasley first appeared on screen? You know, the blonde to Jamie's brunette.
Yeah.
The
So when I first saw Lisa, I was like, oh, I'm so happy that women are wearing athleisure in film now. Because I work from home. I actually don't. I mostly just sit at home now. But I'm doing only athleisure. Yes. And so when I see a woman portrayed in like a commercial or a film and she's in like a sweater and jeans, I'm like, that's a lie. There's no way. There's no way she'd be doing that. So I thought, okay, first of all, love Lisa's just natural. This is what I am around and look. And then when I heard Lisa's voice, I said, oh, she's bad news.
This is just a little welcome to the neighborhood give.
Oh, so nice of you, Lisa. Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
That is not what I think of as like a mom with two kids voice. Okay, that's a voice that's like, I've lived and I've seen some things. And yeah, I'm your neighbor, but you don't know what I'm going to do. Like it's husky. It's definitely, I don't know if it's cigarettes. I don't know what it is. Yep. But that voice has lived.
Yes.
And so at this point, I'm just trying to knock out, like, who are our suspects? It's not going to be Karen because she can decorate.
It's not
going to be Susie. She's got curly hair.
Right.
Lisa, a blonde and a smoker's voice. Now we're cooking.
Interesting. See, I was thinking at first, I was like, she brought over rosé, so she's fun, because Susie's the one who brought over vegan muffins. So you know Susie's the fun one. I was like, the one who brings over the rosé. I was like, okay. And then immediately Karen invites Lisa into the home. And again, as you guys already heard, you know, Lisa loving Karen's decorating. But they very quickly get to talking because Karen is wearing this very cute necklace, and Lisa just says, you know, like, where'd you get it? And you know what? It really brings them close together.
Before Miles, we had another baby, a little girl who died.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Do you want to talk about it?
Sids. Our little girl, Rose, was 8 weeks old when she died. I remember being so grateful that I got 4 hours of sleep. But when I went into her room in the morning, she wasn't breathing. I know I didn't cause it, but I can't help thinking that if I just did one thing differently, it would have made a difference. I'm sorry.
No.
I didn't mean to dump this on you. Ah, it's been 7 years. You wouldn't think I would be so... this. Ah, but Scott got me this because... I feel like she's always with us.
You just don't know how much that means to me. We also had a daughter, Annabelle. 5 weeks, Sids.
Oh my God. Lisa, I'm so sorry.
Okay.
This is a, like, it's, we're not even 0 to 60, we're 0 to Sids.
Yes.
And that is a crazy first impression getting to know my neighbor.
Like, have you ever met, like, what's the, like, this is literally the definition of TMI. Like, what is the most information you have given a rando, a stranger, within, like, meeting them for the first time? I'll tell you mine. Like, the one time, like, I once told, like, an intern at my office that I worked at that I had a hemorrhoid. She didn't need to know that.
Okay, yeah.
So, and that was that's out of the gate. Do you have anything that you've really just, why did I tell that person that?
I think that's why I'm so judgmental of Karen, because I do that too. Like, I'm like, come in my house, and people are like, I like those pants, and you're like, I bled through them last time I had my period. Like, that's actually sadly who I am. And so I think I've done this, like, I was like, my mom has MS, and I know that I've like led with, like, why am I telling that on the podcast? You know, like, already I'm off the rails. But I know that, like, I've told my, like, full family history, like medical history, in like a general meeting before. I've been like, my grandma had Alzheimer's, my dad struggles with alcohol, my mom has MS, and I'm obviously mentally fit.
And they're like, you're hired.
Yeah. They're like, wow, okay. Well, we're going to keep in touch. and so, yeah, I think that's why this scene was kind of like, not triggering, but then what Lisa does is a classic me thing too. Someone tells you something and you go, okay.
Oh. She's like, your baby died at 7 weeks? My baby died at 5 weeks.
Yes.
You know, but immediately I knew, I was like, I don't know why the lie was I went through exactly what you went through. Like when you're trying to make something about you, just like say something else. You know what I mean? Like, why is she like, SIDS too?
Yeah. So we're going to learn, obviously, this woman's baby did not die of SIDS. I'm sorry if that's, if this was just two women who bonded over SIDS, we would be bad podcast hosts. but that's not what happened. Yeah, it is strange. That would be a red flag to me because it is so specific. It's also a very rare tragedy.
Yes.
That, like, I don't, she should have, she should have picked, I'm about to throw out other
ways. No, don't even throw out a tragedy. Just give us something fresh. Just, the whole point is, Lisa, you should have given us something fresh. Because even after that, that night, Karen is in bed with Scott and she's like, I can't believe she went through that too. This is crazy to have somebody I connect with. Like, it's even a lot. And even Scott's kind of like, really?
Yeah.
You know, and that's why I like Scott, because from the beginning, because sometimes what can happen, you know, when you do have this sort of terrorist predatory situation, everyone else is like, what are you talking about? Mm-hmm. But it's so nice that in her own home, Karen knows her husband believes her, you know, because from the beginning he's saying, this don't sound right.
In an hour and 40-minute film, we do not see Scott gaslight Karen once, and that is a record for husbands on film.
I mean, accurate.
He is the one the whole time kind of like pushing the, I don't think this is all adding up. And you almost wonder, like, if Lisa has a game plan of people to prey on. And so when she hears the SIDS and the newness and you can tell Karen it's
and the crying. She starts crying immediately. And that is a vulnerability that Lisa can really latch on to.
Yeah. And it's like, oh, if Karen had just been like, thanks for the rosé, grab it, go inside.
Right,
maybe.
Right. Yes.
Maybe Lisa's, because Lisa doesn't do this to Susie.
Right, right.
And so I think that it's really good that Karen has Scott to counterbalance. I mean, this isn't like normal people friendships. When people go like meet someone and then the next day it's their best friend, you're always like, oh, nope. Someone is kooky.
Honey, outside of third grade, not allowed, okay? Right. After the age of 9, you're just going to have to take your time getting to know people. It should
you're
going
to have a dinner. You're going to have, your husbands are going to need to meet. You're going to, like, it's just, when someone wants to be your friend that quickly, that actually, if anyone wants to be my friend, I'm like, you're unwell. and
but why, Megan? You've told them so much about you. They're fully informed.
Oh, boy.
So I feel like, though, Lisa's coming in hot, but then the very next day, I mean, Karen and Susie are on board when Lisa suggests the moms go back to school shopping.
What do you say to a little back to school shopping for moms?
You think Allie's around to babysit this weekend?
Yeah.
Cheers to that.
And we have them going shopping, living, loving life. Karen tries on this, like, red lacy dress, which is, like, super cute. For me, it's very, like,
I thought it was fine.
I thought it was like a nice nighttime suburban mom, I'm about to go out dress.
To me, it honestly looked like what a religious woman would wear if she was dressing up, because it was like fully covered, like high neck cover. I was like, oh, someone's going to like wear this to a conservative funeral.
It was red, Megan.
Okay, well, then maybe that's the twist. You know, conservative funeral with a splash of color.
Oh, wow. That dress is made for you. It's a little more bold than I usually go.
It is absolutely your color and you must get it.
It's got your name on it.
Right?
Everyone immediately compliments the dress. And Karen's like, this is outside of my comfort zone. Because, you know, Karen's just like a real, not conservative woman, but she's...
jeans and button down.
Yeah, she's also looks like, what's the word? Is she like basic?
It's kind of basic business casual.
Basic business casual. Yes, yes, yes.
There's some scarf work happening.
Yes, yes, yes,
There's a lot of layers.
Fun coats.
Yes, but, of course.
You know, it gets a little dicey when this is, again, when we're really starting to put the pieces together. Karen decides to wear this red dress to drop off Miles for his first day of school. Now, I'm sorry. What do? You drop off kids at 8 a.m.? What are you doing in a red dress and a heel?
I didn't know. I didn't even know you got out of your car. I thought it was like, bye.
I know. Karen's involved, right? She's a perfect mom. Yeah. She's involved. Yeah, she like wants to read to the kids.
Yeah.
So she is dropping off her kid. Again, Dorothy Peacock Elementary School, which has been established as being the best. Lisa's boy also goes there. Karen's about to leave. She turns around and in walks Lisa wearing the very same red dress she told Karen to buy.
Oh, Lisa.
Karen, oh my God. I'm so embarrassed. That dress looks so good on you. So I went back the next day and got it, and I never dreamed we would wear them on the exact same day.
Great minds must think alike.
Wow. Wow.
Like a day before.
The day before. Literally moments before. And Karen was like, what? Like Karen's like, excuse you? And you know, Lisa, of course, is like, I'm so sorry.
Yeah.
But Karen was real mad about it. And I'll tell you this. At first, I was starting to think, like, Karen, what's up with you? Because I thought her level of anger, like, annoyance was, like, too much. Okay, mm-hmm. She wore the same dress. It's, like, annoying. But, like, is getting an outfit that your friend also has, is that bad?
I don't think so. I think you just gotta let them know. Like, I think she should have been like, oh my, well, this is obviously if she was not a crazy person, mm-hmm. been like, oh, I ended up, that dress looks so good on you. I ended up getting it, but we'll just coordinate when we wear it.
Right.
Love ya. But because I actually, and I know this isn't the point, but I actually did think Lisa looked better in the dress.
Okay. Wow.
I thought it was better for her coloring, and I thought the shape, the silhouette of it was better for her body type.
Okay, you guys, if you have not seen The Neighbor in the Window, watch it now. Get back to us. Tell us who you think looks better in the red dress.
It's like in magazines when they're like, who wore it better? So my brain is just programmed to pick when we really don't need to.
No. But she's like immediately, you know, Karen is kind of like, bitch.
Yeah.
Okay? And then after that, when she's like leaving, we meet Michelle in the parking lot.
I didn't get the dress memo.
Oh, just a silly coincidence.
Hi, I'm Michelle. My daughter Molly goes to kindergarten with your son.
I'm sorry I didn't see you inside. I was a little shocked.
Oh, I get it. That's why I avoid mom culture. I can never keep up. Today it's two of you. Next week you'll all be wearing the same thing.
And Michelle is a cool mom. Michelle's not like the other moms. I think, didn't she even say, I don't do mom culture?
Yeah, like, and I think that's a really good point.
Yeah.
Is that like her not being a part of mom culture means she's not going to have a stalker.
Right. It's going to save her life
in
this instance. And so you like meet her and they just have like a nice passing pleasant interaction. You're kind of like, okay, Michelle, she's fun. Is Michelle going to be in the mix?
No.
And then.
She's not enough. We needed more Michelle.
Right. And then Karen is also like, you know, again, right, as you said, right? Fresh start. And she's like, I think I'm going to get my real estate license here in Seattle. She's ready to get back into the workforce. You know, she's like, I'm a do me.
Well, since Miles has adjusted so nicely to kindergarten, I've decided to go back to work. I'm going to get my real estate license in Washington.
Oh, congratulations.
Congratulations.
Hey, cheers. That's awesome.
That's great.
And there's a wonderful moment where they're having like a back to school barbecue. And again, just to make sure, you know, we think of Karen as the good person she is, who can do no wrong. Everyone praises Karen. And I just need you guys to hear one of my favorite moments in the film, which is when Karen presents some hors d'oeuvres she made to the other guests of the party.
Bell pepper bites, anyone?
Oh, Karen, these are the sweetest.
Where do you even find these little flags?
Oh, Karen really could find a needle in a haystack, especially if there's something cute to make with that needle.
Okay, now I've never eaten a bell pepper bite, But I can't imagine what could be so good in them that everyone coos like presented a newborn.
I'm guessing it's cream cheese, but it doesn't seem like a complicated. Well, and then Scott says some weird thing about like a needle in a haystack. Like
the little flag. She puts little flags on them.
Right.
I don't even know. She's crafty. The point is, Karen's crafty. We love her work. She can make anything happen. Again, Scott, he's a doting husband. We love to see it.
I thought this backyard barbecue was eye-opening because I was prepared for it to be a situation where Lisa has made up that she has a husband and children entirely. You know, just like, yeah, my husband. And then, you know, it's like Home Alone, the mannequin in the window being controlled.
Right.
I thought it could be a situation like that. So when we meet the husband, I'm like, oh, okay, that man is identifying as her husband. And these children do seem to call her mom.
Yep.
So it kind of made me be like, maybe Lisa's legit, but just a little jealous or something.
But then when Karen tells everyone she's going to go get her real estate license, Lisa's like, I've been thinking the same thing.
Karen, that is so great. You know, I was just talking to Dan about maybe I'll go back to work now that Elliot's older, and he suggested real estate.
That's great. Maybe you guys can work together.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Now you're back to worrying. Now you're back.
That didn't, like, the dress bothered Karen more than her picking the same job as her.
I know.
It's just crazy.
I know. But then she really pops off after that, Karen is inside Lisa's house, you know, cleaning up something in the kitchen. And then she and Dan, Lisa's husband, start talking.
Is it Dan or Don?
Dan.
Dan.
But he's a Dan with a Don energy. Do you know what I mean? It's fine. Don Dan.
You know, I have to say, I'm really happy that you and Lisa have struck up such a friendship. It's hard on Lisa sometimes, connecting with other moms.
You mean after Annabelle?
Annabelle?
Your baby. Like Scott and I. Angel wing necklace.
Oh, I'm sorry. You must have misunderstood. My brother and his wife lost a baby Annabelle to SIDS, not me and Lisa. We've only ever had Allie and Elliot. We must have got the wires crossed somewhere there.
Dan is like, no, he didn't. What are you talking about? And then one of my other favorite lines, like, she's, again, Karen downloading with Scott, right? And she's like, why would she lie? You know, and of course, Scott's like, because she cray. You know, Scott's not in. But then, do you remember Karen goes, the only thing I can do is find grace for her. Could Karen be more of a saint?
I have to believe that Lisa has her own reasons for doing what she did. The only thing I can do is find grace for her.
No, you're a better person than me. And that's why I love you.
Now, was this when Scott brought up his college roommate?
Not yet.
Okay, because that was fun, too.
Because things go a little crazy.
I guess Scott maybe could have brought it up here, you know, because the groundwork is being set that Lisa, you know, we're not hearing that she's dangerous or anything, but that she does seem to have a compulsive lying.
Right.
Exactly.
The lie. Like,
you can kind of be friends with a compulsive liar. I mean, we live in LA. We have lots of compulsive liar friends.
Facts. Very real
facts.
It's
not a deal breaker is all I'm saying.
I mean, but then, okay, so as this all is all happening, though, now, Karen has already agreed to let Allie, Lisa's oldest daughter, babysit her son, Miles. Mm-hmm. Now, I thought that was, Karen is so, like, sweet and trusting. You don't just let some random 12-year-old watch your kid. I'm like, are you CPR certified?
Yeah. Are you a safe sitter? I also think of a 12-year-old as a mother's helper, not full-time employment babysitter.
Yeah.
But Karen doesn't do this to herself. I'm not going to try and victim blame, but they definitely get their lives fully intertwined with each other.
Yes.
And I think that goes back to Michelle's point about mom culture of like, she does need someone to watch Miles. They're right in her backyard. Like when you have kids, your kids' friends, parents end up being your friends, like whether right. you really want it or not. And Karen, and maybe because she's new to Seattle, she dives in. She never sticks a toe in. She's like, yes, your daughter can babysit me. Yes, I'm in your kitchen telling your husband about my baby dying. Yes, like she's also really, she's going right. for it.
But see, this is like why I would never have children. Because I don't like the way you have to be friends with people for because your kids, you know, like their kid and your kid hang out. I have a dog and I don't even want her to do dog play dates. Yeah. I will not be embroiled in any negative, draining relationships. Okay?
See, and I do want to have children, but I'm fully prepared for my husband and I to just come home and make fun of all of the other parents. Like, that's actually, I like kind of look forward to that.
Yeah, yeah.
And maybe that's my mom culture. I can see you in mom culture, though.
Because you're wearing a cardigan right now, a pink cardigan right now. And I just feel like you're giving me a mom culture energy.
Yeah. I think I'll be more like mom mess up culture of like, so we're about to get into the part of the film right. where Karen is like, did you not have a baby die or something?
Well, I will say this. Karen gets this information from Dan and she's flustered. She's like, wait a minute. What do I do? But then I'll tell you this, Karen's direct. Mm-hmm. Karen gets it done. But as always, Lisa got an answer for that.
Of course.
Listen to Lisa's answer for that.
Actually, maybe you could clear something up for me in the spirit of Team Mom. Do you remember when I told you about my daughter, Rose?
Karen. Dan told me you guys spoke and I have a confession to make. It's been really hard to keep this a secret, especially from you. I have Parkinson's.
What?
I was not expecting that. Because the thing is, she's a young woman. She can't say she has dementia.
All right.
I guess she could say she has early onset Alzheimer's, but that's like, this isn't still Alice. So she's like, I have Parkinson's. I did not know that memory loss or like mixing up.
Right. Thinking someone else's life was your life was a symptom of right. Parkinson's. I'm no doctor,
but.
You know what happens though? It's the waterworks. Lisa yeah. is good at crying.
Not being able to keep your facts straight is one of the symptoms, which is really embarrassing. And I am so sorry if I upset you. I never meant to do this.
I'm so sorry. Please let me know if there's anything I can do to help you.
Oh my gosh.
And she will like get those tears, which honestly with those thick lashes, love. She will start those waterworks so quickly that then Karen rushes to hug her because you know the clip we just played for you ends in an embrace. Okay, the women are embracing. That's how back on board Karen is.
Yeah, Lisa could have been an actress and then she would have all the attention she wanted. I mean, I know in real life she is an actress portraying someone, but I'm just saying.
The character of Lisa,
I do think Lisa's skills being able to cry and lie are wasted in the suburbs of Seattle.
I agree. I feel like what I wish, you know, is that the movie could, for me, obviously be a full hour longer where you see what Lisa does in her home without everyone. Because I feel like there's a very what happened to baby Jane energy to her. Like she would be reliving like her cheerleader past, right? She'd be wearing her old outfits from when she was prom queen because that was when everyone paid attention to her. That's Lisa's vibe to me. Living like, she's like, I was once beloved and now I'm not. So I have to make up stories about Parkinson's.
And they're, I mean, it's just wild.
Is
this when she has the necklace on? Because she does get the matching necklace that Jamie Lynn has too, right, Karen?
Yes.
And that like, oh boy, because the dress is one thing, but to get the matching dead baby necklace, it's like, well, now we're off the rails.
I mean, and that's honestly for me, that might have been when I would pack up my bags. I pack up my bags, honey.
Yeah, I would definitely be like, Allie, I don't need you to watch my kid anymore.
Exactly. You've got to start disentangling, but not soon enough. Not soon enough.
Mm-mm.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Happy Halloween.
Lisa.
Are the boys here?
Ooh, Halloween. Ooh, yeah. That Halloween scene. I do love that because I love when a man is tested with a sexy decoy and does not take the bait.
He does not fall for the honeypot. That was a honeypot. The children have all gone trick-or-treating, and then Lisa comes to Karen's house after. And I believe Karen is either at work still, because again, she's pursuing this real estate dream, or she's out trick-or-treating. But Lisa's like the last one there. And she knocks on the door and it's just Scott dressed as Dracula, handing out candy. And then Lisa's like, oh, I miss them. Can I stop in and use your bathroom? You live right behind him. Yeah. Why do you need his bathroom, Lisa?
Yeah.
First of all, there's one thing my mother taught me. You always go before you leave home, first of all. So the fact that she's out here leaving her house without using her own restroom and then trying to use it. If I was Scott, I would have been like, nope. No, I'm sorry. We don't have a bathroom.
Right. Well, and she has a type of pants on that are very hard to get off and on in a quick, like she has, she has pants on where you're only going potty at your own house because you can't get them back. It's like, you're going to need
baby powder.
Vaseline, like a lot of different things that it's not just a pop in your neighbor's powder room potty.
Right. Yeah. And that was,
what's her costume?
I think Lisa's giving us like sexy cat. I thought I saw little ears, like a little ear had been like all black, just like, I'm a sexy cat.
I thought she was doing Sandra Dee at the end of Grease.
Okay, Sandy, if you will.
You better shape up, Sandy.
Yeah.
But I guess she was following the old adage of like, it doesn't matter what your costume is as long as you look hot and slutty.
Right, sexy blank. Yeah, that's Lisa's energy. Sexy, you know, she's always going to do that.
Sexy mom, sexy Lisa, crazy woman who lives in the house that you share a backyard with, you know, whatever, fill in the blank. Listen, we don't need to take bets. I don't think she actually went pee in the potty at their house.
She did stay in there, though. She like, what? So you think she just went in there and like counted to 300?
I think she went in there. I think she fixed her lipstick. I think she zhuzhed her hair, counted to 10, flushed the toilet, turned on the sink, came on out and said, what's up, Scott?
Because that's basically what she did, y'all. Lisa came out trying to make it happen. She literally at one point bends over the candy bowl and like has her butt perked in the air. Scott, again, our wonderful good Scott, our diamond in the rough Scott, he doesn't fall for it.
I've always wondered what it is about Dracula's kiss that makes everybody so crazy.
Historically, Dracula's kiss is equated with the kiss of death, so maybe you don't want to find out.
He don't fall for it.
No.
He, you know, he's a little sweaty. He's giving me almost like nerd in an 80s movie. Like he doesn't know what to do with this woman on him, you know? But then he's literally like, I think you should leave. Mm-hmm. And that's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And that's wonderful. And, but Scott of course, Lisa.
I was just going to say, Scott is man enough to know that Lisa's not into him. You know, like a lot of times these men, they're like, wow, she's into me. And it's like, no, you dummy, this is a setup. And he knows that it's a setup. The thing that really freaked me out is when she kind of pretended to be his wife / the mom giving out the candy. You're like, oh, that's real. If someone comes into my home and hands out Halloween candy with my husband, you're catching fists. Okay. That's it for you. Yeah.
So that's in a way almost like that's as bad as if they had actually, kissed.
Yeah. Don't you dare touch my baby Ruth. Get your damn hands off my Snickers.
Basically, well, it's also like, now the whole neighborhood is going to think we're an item. And I think that's what she was going for, right? Because now every child and parent that comes to that was in that moment was like, it seemed like Lisa and Scott were chummy. Right. You know what I mean? And it's like, again, you are creating a narrative, Lisa.
Yeah. She is an agent of chaos.
Truly. She's a Loki, a trickster god, if you will.
Jeez, this rain is really coming down.
Oh, no.
Scott.
Oh, shoot. I can't remember if we brought Miles's rain jacket in from the car to the school this morning. Sorry about that.
I hope he made it all home okay with Allie.
Yeah, me too.
Now, Karen is just freaked out. She's rushing to get home to pick up Miles, who's supposed to be at her house. He's not there. She's like freaking runs next door. He's there. They were caught in the rain. Hello, Seattle life. And they're sitting it out and drying off at Lisa's. But then there's this moment. Lisa asks Karen if she can borrow some money. Why don't we listen to how that goes?
Sorry, if this is about Allie, Scott should have been
here. Oh, it's not about Allie. It's about Dan. He lost his job and I don't know what to do.
Oh. I'm so sorry. I'm sure he'll find something soon.
Well, it's been over a month and he hasn't. And my medical bills are starting to eat into our savings. And I was wondering if there's any way that Dan and I could borrow $5,000. And we'll pay you back as soon as we get back on our feet. And you know we're good for it.
Lisa, I'm so sorry about Dan's job and your medical bills, but I was taught never to mix money and friendships.
I know you have it. I've seen how you spend money.
Frankly, Lisa, how I spend my money is none of your business. And beyond that, how do I know that Dan really lost his job or what medical bills you're paying for exactly?
Do you have any idea how hard it was for me to come here and ask you that? That almost perfect everything. I was going to talk to Scott about it on Halloween, but it was pretty clear his mind was elsewhere.
And what's that supposed to mean?
What it means is, I'm used to men and their wandering eyes, but I thought at least a woman would hear me out.
Okay, I think we're done here.
Agreed.
Okay. Okay. When Lisa asked for that money...
Yeah.
Karen, again, it's interesting. On one hand, Karen has really good boundaries. And then on the other hand, she don't know when to just, like, cut somebody loose.
Right. Yeah, because she says, like, I was taught not to mix, like, friendship and, money.
And she's right. She's right.
Yeah. I also, kudos to Lisa. I think she asked for an amount that she could have gotten. You know, if Lisa goes in there and she says 25 grand, it's like, no, but she's like, listen, I see your stuff. I need 5 grand.
Well, first of all, we've established it's a home goods vibe, okay? Second, they've only known each other a couple months. Have you ever I've never asked somebody for money, let alone in the thousands. Like, maybe if we're out, can you spot my lunch? But never, like, just give me some money.
Well, you know what I'm saying? I mean, she says that Dan lost his job and the medical bills are piling up.
From her Parkinson's.
She does make a case for it being like, but then to me, I'm like, $5,000, that's not, what hospital does that get you? Like, that's actually not enough for hospital bills.
Yeah.
No, I've never asked anybody for money, but if I do, I'm gonna start low and then work up.
I think I got to know you at least a year first. I can't be coming up in here. She already got her daughter on payroll. You know what I mean?
Right,
Karen's already paying Allie. It's like,
that's
and now you
true.
Want just 5K?
Yeah,
But honey, Lisa don't take that well. And that's when it pops off.
Yes.
Okay. Because that is when the anonymous complaints start to come in.
Yeah. Dorothy Peacock's getting involved.
Oh, honey.
And so someone calls the school.
Yeah.
And the teacher says that there have been complaints made that Miles doesn't have proper clothing, which we know he got caught in the rainstorm.
Right.
That Miles doesn't have a lunch.
Even though what we're seeing is that he's not eating the gorgeous lunch she is providing. You guys, at one point, Karen makes Miles, oh my God, What does she make him? It's like turkey avocado wheels. She makes Miles lunches that I would have at a banquet. You know what I mean? Like, she's making him past apps. High class past apps. And this little boy, I was like, well, he's not eating because he's six. He wants a gummy bear. A turkey avocado wheel is not for a child. That's for someone like me who's trying to cut carbs.
Now, we never really find out what happens to the lunches. Do you think Lisa's intercepting and taking his lunch? Or do you think she's just, like, making it up? Because, like, doesn't the teacher know if he has his lunch or not?
Because the thing is, she comes and sees, like, his lunch isn't eaten, right? So he's bringing it and bringing the box back. I imagine that, like, he's in school and he's just, like, eating his friend's Doritos. You know what I mean? Like, he's like, you want an avocado wheel? And they're like, no. And then he just takes, like, a bite of peanut butter and jelly.
So Karen is not neglecting Miles. She's actually treating him too well.
I think so. Honey, he's six. A wheel of any kind, unless it's like a goldfish cracker. He doesn't need it. That's my point.
This is my bad reaction. I was like, I don't really think those two, I don't think him not having the right coat or not having his lunch seemed like that big a deal.
Well, honey, remember.
I know that's bad.
This is why we established that Dorothy Peacock is the best. Because
exactly.
Of Dorothy Peacock, it matters, honey.
It does matter.
They're
it does
calling
matter.
You.
Right.
They're calling you
right,
at Dorothy right. Peacock Elementary. They're involved in the home life.
And that's why you want your child to go there, but it's also tough. You're gonna have to abide by the Dorothy Peacock standards.
Exactly. And so, of course, Karen gets in there in this parent-teacher meeting, you know, about Miles allegedly being abused. And of course, it's anonymous, but Karen's literally like, Lisa did it, right?
Right.
And so they're like, we can't say anything. If these complaints keep coming in, they'll have to call CPS, Child Protective Services,
that's
honey.
That's like...
No. So then, of course, they're encouraged to handle it themselves. Handle it themselves, the adults, so that, you know, it doesn't escalate. But as they're leaving...
I think I'm going to work from home today.
Well, hey, we're not calling social services. That's good news.
But I'll always wonder if she will.
Well, she won't, okay? Lisa Beasley's just looking for attention.
You know, she's like, I don't know what I'm going to do. And of course, Scott, again, even keeled, respecting her, you know, is saying like, okay, just like, we got to stay away from the woman. Or like, you know, we'll have a conversation. But then, you know, Karen runs into Lisa in the parking lot.
In a brand new matching Mercedes to hers.
Identical to Karen's car.
So then you're like, well, maybe she wanted the $5,000 for a down payment.
Well, she got it, honey. But this is when Karen, this is when you see Jamie Lynn come out. This is when you see our Long Island girl.
This is when you see Meadow Soprano
Hello.
Come out.
Hello. You guys, listen to when Karen says she's had enough.
Get out of the car, Lisa.
Karen, you seem upset.
I am not upset. I am livid. I know you made that call. I thought you didn't have any money, Lisa, but you went out and you got my car. Tell the truth. What is your problem with me?
You're scaring
Karen,
the kids.
Leave my family alone.
Let's go.
Let's talk. It's not a great look on you, hon.
Oh, wow. I love it. I love it. Lisa's just like rolling up the window, you know. And Allie's sitting next to Lisa in the passenger seat, not saying anything.
No, she looks a little freaked. I mean, you do have to be like, Karen, you can't traumatize Allie. She lives with this woman. Don't you think she's going through enough already?
But
it is. It's kind of like, I do wonder, and maybe we'll get to this as we continue, but it's like, what is Lisa's end game?
Exactly.
Because once you attack someone's child and their parenting, you know they're going to come after you. So was she trying to instigate, get a rise, but then for what?
I think so that Lisa then becomes the center of attention. Look at how mean Karen is being to me.
Okay, so she's trying to switch the narrative.
Yes, the narrative is she's being attacked. You know,
and Karen isn't perfect. So like, listen, she'll put a picture wall up on her staircase, but she can't feed her damn kid.
the best she's got is those bell pepper bites.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
And it's and everything else is a lie. So immediately, though, Michelle comes and catches her. Oh, love Michelle.
She's a damn guardian angel.
She literally, she goes, come on, hon. She goes, this isn't a good color on you, hon. And she pulls Karen away. Okay. I wish I had a Michelle in my life because there are many times somebody needs to pull me away from a situation, okay, and say, honey, not your best look. I wish for it. This is what makes a Lifetime movie aspirational.
This Michelle should be lucky Karen didn't whip her damn purse on her because the thing is, it's like Karen is in the right. Like, you know when you're in the right, but you've lost your cool in the argument?
Yes.
And then you're like, did I lose because I got too angry? But if someone points it out to you, then it's like, no, but I'm right. You know, like, that's what I would have gotten in Michelle's car and been like, no, but I'm right. I'm right. But, like, you get the vibe that Michelle knows enough about Lisa to be like, remove yourself.
Right.
And then she just casually hands her the business card of a lawyer.
She's like, I use him to do background checks on all my employees. So, okay, Michelle, small business owner. Again, I'm trusting her. She gets it done. And she's like, here you go. And she's like, no, I just think we can work this out. You know, of course, Karen, ever so hopeful. And Michelle's like, call Alan. You know what I mean? Get to the lawyer. All right.
And Michelle has on one of those coats that has like the big pockets. And I like to imagine she just has a stack of Alan Levine business cards in that pocket. And she's handing them out left. She's at the grocery store. Someone slipped on milk. She's like, you need to call Alan Levine.
She gets a kickback. She gets 5%
from Alan. I think she does.
They're friends and she is helping him out, growing his practice.
Okay, so we've got Michelle giving this card.
Yes.
And it's like, we get like a full shot of the name and phone number. Like, we're calling him.
Right, you we're know? Calling
like
him.
That's where it seems like they almost did a reshoot to get that card.
Make sure
in.
So you know, like, Alan Levine.
But we're going to Alan Levine.
But initially, again, Karen's not into it until after the school Christmas show. Karen and Scott get served with a restraining order, or Karen, just Karen, cannot be within 100 feet of Lisa.
Are you Mr. and Mrs. Morgan?
Yeah, how can we help you?
We have a restraining order filed against Karen Morgan. If you step within 100 feet of Mrs. Lisa Beasley or her property, warrant for your arrest will be issued.
Well, that means I can't go in my backyard.
If Mrs. Beasley is within 100 feet, then no, you can't.
So how's that gonna work? So now we got Karen in her own house, damn near Anne Frank in her own house, holed up in the attic. She can't come outside.
She's quarantining.
She's quarantining in her home. And so that's when Alan Levine comes in.
Yeah. That holiday party, that made me really, can you imagine, like, moms are so scary to me, even as a grown mom age woman now, but to have like five moms give you a stink face while your kid's just trying to sing a damn holiday song, it's like, what the?
I thought you wanted to talk to a few people.
I just want to go home.
I want to stay.
Please get in the car, okay?
Hey, we'll get you something yummy when we get home, okay, buddy?
Like, Lisa is good. It's crazy that not one mom in the class was like, Lisa's full of it. They all were just so quick to be anti-Karen.
Yeah.
Maybe because she's, I don't know.
Because she's new in town. No one can trust the new girl. Also, I think because Lisa is, I know, do you remember, like, in high school, did you ever have the kind of girl who was, like, mean, but she was popular because no one wanted to be on the receiving end of her mean?
That's every girl in high school. that's a classic. I mean, it's just like there was one part where I got so sad for Miles though, because they like bolted out of there.
Yeah.
And it's like, I don't think Miles got cake.
Right.
I don't think Miles, like, actually, you are abusing him. let him eat cake. Like, he's just like, I want to stay with my friends. And I remember being like, I hope they stopped and picked him up something. Like, Miles is suffering because of Lisa.
Right.
So, like, Lisa
gosh, gal, you can't, you're punishing.
Well, that's the problem, because their sons are best friends. So Lisa is willing, because at one point, Miles goes to go to Lisa's house to hang out with the son. And then Scott has to like run across the lawn and grab him and literally carry him back home. And it's like, so you'd rather your son not have a friend just because this woman wouldn't give you $5,000. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I do start to feel bad for the boys.
You know, but I mean, when we get Alan Levine involved after the restraining order, I will admit, again, I wasn't sure what was going to happen because Alan kind of had like an attitude. He felt a little dismissive.
He felt gaslighty.
He did, because what Karen is saying and why Lisa's so good is that it's all these little psychological things and all these little moments that are kind of, it could go either way, or you had to be there to know it was crazy. So when she's like trying to explain to Alan, he's like,
I don't know
if it's, there's a legal issue here, right?
And there actually is not.
Right. He's like, she sounds cray. That's my opinion. That consult was free. But so, like, Karen is a little nervous. So while Alan is trying to work, Scott decides to get man-to-man with Lisa's husband, Dan, hoping that, like, the husband, like, can you talk to your wife? Because she's being unreasonable. And, you know, I just thought that scene was so funny to me because it really went on a journey, you know? Mm-hmm. And you guys, take a listen to Scott trying to reason with Dan.
Oh, hey, Dan, thanks for coming. What are you drinking?
Nothing. I can't stay long.
Oh, well, I was thinking we could talk about our wives and this whole mess.
Well, your wife came at mine with my kids in the car. Not much else to say.
You're right. There isn't anything else to say except that we both want this to stop, don't you?
Look, I know my Lisa. Her problem is she just wants to be friends with everyone. But some women can't handle her. She can be intimidating looking like that.
Looking like what?
Like, I'm proud to say that my wife is hot. And other women are jealous of her.
So you think that Karen's jealous of Lisa and that's why they're arguing?
Well, it wouldn't be the first time.
Well, how many times has this happened to Lisa exactly?
You know, maybe I'll have a beer.
Hey, bud, can I get a beer? How many times, Dan?
It's been happening her whole life, practically, since she was a cheerleader in high school.
Well, Karen was literally the homecoming queen. So if you think this is about a beauty contest, I think Karen can hold her own.
So what are you saying? You're saying that Lisa brought this on herself? That Lisa made Karen yell at her in front of our kids?
No, I'm saying that she's lying, and she's been lying since we moved in. Look, we're both married men. We know what our wives tell us and what's true. This isn't about looks. Karen and I have been together for 17 years. She's a level-headed and honest woman. Can you really say the same thing about Lisa?
Okay.
Wow. I mean, no one has ever made these arguments to Dan before.
I know. Because
he comes in and he's like, I love her. She's hot. She's just jealous. And you're like, wow. Okay. What? And then Scott
gets
him. He
asks one question. Scott is like, has this happened before? How many times? Honey, suddenly Dan wants a drink.
He needs a beer.
It was amazing. I think what Lisa has done to Dan is that she's isolated him. Dan doesn't have friends. He doesn't have anybody to talk to go, dude, that's not normal.
This is weird, right?
Yes. So I think he doesn't know anymore, which is why then, you know, it takes Scott asking one question for the whole thing to change.
The house of cards to fall.
Tumbling down. But when that starts to tumble, honey, when Dan starts to question Lisa a little bit, Lisa decides she got to go hard. She's got to make a Hail Mary pass to really win all the world's attention and earn victimhood. And she does that by flinging herself in front of Karen's car as Karen is driving home.
Oh, my God.
Lisa, oh my God, are you okay?
Karen, please don't hurt me!
okay? You want to try and stand up?
I'm not okay. You're trying to run me over with your car. Allie, please call 911.
No, no, no. Don't call the police. Nothing happened.
Allie!
I mean, Megan, were you shocked? I literally gasped.
I think in college, if there was like an urban legend that if you got hit by one of the university buses, you got tuition for free. And like, I couldn't even make that call. So it's like, I was watching. I mean, it's like a very obvious throw in front of the car.
Right.
And it's like, wow, Lisa is committed to this. Like, she is. And like, you know,
she's Meisner trained. She's a professional.
She goes on to like be fake hurt. When you see someone in a neck brace, it's almost always not real. Like a neck brace to me is like telltale sign number one that it's fake. She gets a boot.
The thing is, also a boot, considering the full body fling in front of the car to just come out with a boot. Exactly.
Why would her foot or ankle be hurt?
I was like, honey, that was full torso contact. What are you doing with a single boot? And so, of course, this leads to an actual legal battle. Okay, because now,
we're in a courtroom.
Now we're in a court of law, okay? Because now Lisa is leading you to believe that Karen purposely hit her. And we got the fact that Lisa had already filed a restraining order.
Right.
As proof, quote unquote proof that Karen has been harassing her. All because she knocked on her damn car window. Can you imagine?
Mm-hmm.
And then it's dicey. Now we're afraid. Now we think, okay, Karen may not be able to get out of this one. You know, and again, I don't trust Alan Levine. But finally, she does have this breakthrough, right? And again, after the restraining order, all right, Karen finds this a name for what has been going on, figures out who Lisa is. You guys, listen to who Lisa really is as Karen has discovered it.
It's a psychological condition called false victim syndrome. Listen to this. When presented with the facts, the false victim syndrome stalker will rationalize and manipulate everything he can and ignore even a direct question in order to preserve his fantasy of being a victim. He will initiate conflicts and proceed to twist them in his favor in attempt to gain positive attention for himself. This is Lisa to a T.
Well, there's actually a name for this, and she's definitely done it before. Dan said so himself.
Okay, well, if there's a history to this behavior, I'll look into it.
But the Raffertys, the people who lived in the house before us, she must have gotten to them too.
Okay, this false victim syndrome is very difficult to prove in court. But if we can establish a pattern of her history, then we can get out of this she said stagnation.
We can beat this, right?
Oh, well, I never give guarantees.
But this woman is clearly insane.
Then I'll make sure the jury sees that.
Woo! I love having a title. I do.
Yeah. But like, it's funny too, because like, even that isn't illegal, you know?
Right. Right.
It's just like, oh yeah, I feel like every day of my life is false victimhood.
Oh my God. It was like, so Alan was like, okay, I guess we can use, this isn't hard to prove in court, you know? So I'm nervous too, that maybe like, cause again, you know, Lifetime movies, they do tell the story of a strong woman, but she doesn't always like win immediately. Right. Mm-hmm. Like she can be wrongly accused, go to jail for 5 years and then be exonerated. Right. Like, I don't know how it's going to go. So I'm thinking, Alan Levine, you're sleeping at the wheel. So,
and what kind now? Because we're watching this court proceeding. Is it criminal? I guess it is. Oh yeah, because she could face 10 years or something.
Yes, 10 years. Yeah, because like, manslaughter.
Why is Lisa sitting at the prosecutor's table?
I think the victim does sit at the table, don't they?
No.
No.
I don't think so. I think it's the prosecutors are together, and then of the people sit behind. This is good. Like, we need the visual of their going basically head to head.
Right.
But Oh, yeah. I mean, she, like, I'm almost like, I bet this prosecutor doesn't like Lisa. I bet this prosecutor's like, Lisa, this lady.
But see, the prosecutor, he's on point. And initially, Alan Levine starts to question Karen, and where it's like, his questioning's weak. Where I'm literally like, Alan Levine, did you even pass the bar? Okay? Are you even good to practice law? He's just asking these, like, really, like, loose, like, just really flimsy questions. And I just really felt like, you are phoning it in, whereas I felt Lisa's lawyer is really kind of pointed and is really making his case. And again, Karen keeps trying to be so reasonable. It's like, Karen, don't be reasonable.
Right. You got to fight fire with fire here.
Yes. Yes. And so you being reasonable is not helping you. So it's literally you think, honey, all is lost until Allie, Lisa's own daughter, Miles' former babysitter, takes the stand.
And now, how do you let that happen? How do you let your child take the stand?
Honey, she's 12 years old, already babysitting full time. She's got a job. She's a tax-paying citizen. Maybe she's doing done jury duty.
Put me on the stand.
She's like, I'm in. You know? Even though I bet Lisa wanted her on the stand, right? Because she probably thought, oh, my kid is gonna make me even more sympathetic.
Right. So Allie eventually cracks.
Under Alan Levine's strict questioning.
Yes, under the cross-exam. And she is like, we were standing out there for 20 minutes, basically waiting for her to drive by.
You guys, listen to the moment it all comes tumbling down.
I guess about 20 minutes.
20 minutes, that's a really long time. What were you doing during that time?
We were having a mother-daughter conversation.
Allie? Please.
Allie, what were you doing on that corner with your mom for 20 minutes? It's a long time to be standing outside doing nothing. Allie?
We were waiting for Mrs. Morgan.
You were waiting? Why?
Mrs. Morgan's car, so Mama could hurl herself into it.
There it is, Megan. Continue.
But, like, why didn't Lisa, this manipulative mastermind, prep her daughter?
She really,
of all the things in the world, Lisa's against perjury? Like, no.
I think she prepped her, but I really think that Allie deep down, remember, right? Allie knows Mama Cray.
Yeah.
And I think Allie was like, she's a child with a child's pure heart. And I think she said, I cannot lie. Also, she and Alan Levine had similar coloring. Maybe he's her real dad. Something happened because suddenly Alan went from being...
Levine do look alike.
They do. And Alan was so not good up until then that I was like, okay, y'all got a connection because now you've given us some real information, Alan.
And then you're like, are they going to fight outside?
Or
and
like, I thought literally it would switch and it should be like, now Lisa, you're under arrest. You know what I mean? Like I wanted it now to be her trial, but no, it just
we kind of are left hanging and wanting more. We see that Karen and Scott and Miles have moved out.
Karen is a free woman. There's a
sold for sale sign in the front yard, and we see a new family, white, nondescript.
Yes, naturally.
get out of the car, and you're left thinking the cycle will begin again.
The evil continues. So
it's really traumatizing for Allie. Like, I think, you know, I know we want a sequel to be like, what happened to the next neighbor? But it's also like, I want to check in with Allie 15 years later and see like because Allie's going to get to high school and she's going to have issues with friends as naturally happens in high school. And Lisa's going to intervene and it's going to be full kookie town. You know, like these other moms are going to be like, what the heck? I just sent your daughter home from a sleepover and you're slashing my tires. Like that doesn't seem, those don't seem in line. The punishment does not fit that crime.
No, not at all. I did like that in the end, she was undone by her own daughter. I really did. But so that's satisfying, but then it ends with, you know, Karen Morgan and family, they move out, but then you see another family move in, and so you still get the chills. You know what I mean? Yeah. You're still full of terror. You still don't know if Lisa will ever get her comeuppance. Like, she didn't get this Karen, but she'll get the next one.
Now, do you think Lisa, she obviously has to flip the script a little bit because mm-hmm. she can't go in and say, you know, my baby died the same way your baby died every time. But do you think she uses the Parkinson's and the ask for money and seducing the husband? Like, I wonder if she's got it down at this point.
I think so, because when she talks about having Parkinson's and she shows her notebook of appointments filled with little colored post-it, you know, placeholders,
yeah.
that feels like a craft project she's done. She spent the time to fill that in and make it look legit. And I think she keeps that in her back pocket at all times.
There was a character on a reality show. I will not name it, but they lied about having cancer. And maybe. They also had a book like that. And mm-hmm. I'm like starting to wonder, oh, if you have a book of your medical appointments, maybe you don't have any medical appointments.
Exactly. Exactly, honey. We're in a digital age, so
yeah.
I don't know about that.
If you don't have your iCal cranking,
thank you.
Then you're lying.
You went to Michael's and you decided to do this as a craft project.
She had tabs, color coordinated. She's like, well, this one is, that's when I have to get MRIs.
Yes.
This one, like, it was like, but not once did Karen say, open it up. Let me see what's written in there.
I know. Well, but then you also find out, too, she told Susie at some point she had lupus. So she can't even keep it all straight. It's like, depending right. on who she's talking to, she knows she has a thing. And because Karen caught her in a lie, she really had to, like, have, quote, hard evidence.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where you get this book yeah. of tabs.
Lisa must have a background in improv. She's taken a class. She's yes-anding her own life.
Her own life. She's heightening, constantly heightening.
Yeah. yeah.
You know, she's a creative artist. Who would you say is the true hero?
I think the true hero is parking lot angel Michelle.
Aha. State your case, please.
She saves Karen from her worst self,
yes.
even though Karen is in the right.
Yes.
She's really the friend that Karen should have
exactly.
from the beginning.
Yes.
She stays out of the fray.
Yeah.
You don't see her making mean faces at the holiday pageant. Like,
yep.
she's just like, listen, I own a company. I get people background checked. I'm in and out. My
yes.
hair looks good.
Yes.
Somehow, even though there's obviously humidity in the air.
I know. Seattle, everyone's got a perfect blowout.
That was very impressive. And I just like, you want to go with her. You
right.
want her to drive Karen away from it.
Yes,
and
yes, yes, yes.
And I just think Michelle's someone that you and I would love to like steal that bottle of rosé and get down to it with.
Exactly. Honestly, I'm with you. I'm with you on that because on one hand, there was a moment where I thought, could Scott be the true hero as the person who saw the lies from the jump? But then I said, you know what? He doesn't do enough. For me.
Right.
You know, given that he knows these lies, he doesn't do enough. And I feel like it is Michelle who's literally like, Karen, girl, no. And
mm-hmm.
that literally, honestly, that to me is the magic sentence in any Lifetime movie. You know,
mm-hmm.
what insert character name here, girl, no.
Right.
And if someone was saying that to them more often, they wouldn't be getting
right.
in these pickles.
Right.
Now, I would like to argue that the true villain of this film is Alan Levine, lawyer
okay.
Alan Levine. That's what I believe, okay? Because I believe Alan Levine, he's like a little dismissive and like rude up top. He, you know, oh, and here's, I think, where he actually messed her up. So Lisa gets a restraining order against Karen, and then Karen is like, should I get a restraining order? And he's like, well, there's really no need for it if you have to stay away from her. But then when the actual trial comes, it's the restraining order Lisa has that helps prove that Karen has been, quote, harassing
her. That there's
her.
Like a history. Yeah.
Alan
yeah.
is whack.
Yeah.
Okay?
Bad legal advice.
Bad legal advice. And you know he expensive. Okay, now we're about to have a guest I am very excited for. He used to work for the mothership herself and was the producer of this very movie. Yes, y'all. We have the wonderful Michael Chin.
Ooh, that's Michael with a Y.
Michael,
hi.
Thank you for doing this.
I'm so happy. Me and Beyonce, we're here together.
Oh my God, amazing. Yes, we need that energy. That energy raining down.
I'm here with a giant eggplant, so.
My
similar
dream in
energy.
Life. That was like my dream in life.
Okay, we're gonna jump right in.
Okay.
Michael, you produced The Neighbor in the Window, isn't that correct?
I did.
Okay.
We loved it.
Yay!
It is wild. It is fun.
Yeah.
I felt
a roller
like
coaster.
A roller coaster, exactly.
Oh, I'm so glad y'all went on the ride.
Yeah.
honey, I went on it twice.
we're interviewing you because we want all of the facts and the genius behind these movies, but we are also in the process of trying to create our own just incredible Lifetime movie. So we
starring vehicles.
Yes. So yeah. I hear excitement.
A little trepidation, but mostly excitement.
It's buzzing under the surface, friend.
Okay,
it's buzzing under
the
surface.
At the end of our season, having sat here and dissected multiple Lifetime movies, Megan and I are going to have a pitch for a Lifetime movie so iconic, you will change that picture of Beyonce behind you to a picture of the two of us.
Oh, I can't wait now.
Can you tell me a little bit about this, putting this movie together, meaning deciding to tell this kind of story?
Yeah, so, you know, at Lifetime, we really are about, like, telling true stories about things that have really happened to women. And so we're always looking for new stories. And this is one that the team before me developed way back in, like, 2011. And we just never made. And then I was going through our old scripts and I read this. I was like, hello, why have we never done this?
Oh my God. So you're a guardian angel. You're the one who really brought this back to life. Okay. Della Reese style, you touched it.
I mean, I'll walk with you down the road.
We were both, obviously the story is so good. The details around it, the Seattle of it and the dorky peacock. And we've especially really loved how much Karen's decorating is celebrated in the film. How do you guys like decide on what type of fun little accessories that you're going to put onto these stories that end up being kind of dark or more sinister?
I mean, some of them are just like homages to things in our own lives. I think the Dorothy Peacock came from our producer.
Okay.
Who like went there? Did your producer go to Dorothy Peacock? Because that school gets shouted out. It gets screen time. It is product placement.
I can't remember where Dorothy Peacock came from, but I remember I was like, what is this? She's like, I love it. And I was like, all right, Nancy. Go ahead, sis.
Now, we also discussed when Lisa asked Karen to borrow some money for $5,000.
Mm-hmm.
Now, is it just me or is that an insane amount of money? When y'all were deciding this, like obviously the choice and to refresh, to adjust, was it concerted being like $5,000 is the amount of money that only a crazy person would ask for? Because Megan thinks it's not too much money.
I think that's a good starting point.
And see, I'm of this club, don't ask me for 25 cents.
Okay.
So,
right. Okay.
So, but originally we did go back and forth about like, is it $5,000? Is it 50? Like, what is the actual like number? And it's like 50 like makes her seem like absolutely insane.
Right.
Yeah.
But like 5,000 is an amount that like, I feel like it's a, like you said, Megan, a starter amount.
There's a
chance. Like, I can see if I can get in with you to scam you with 5K. 50K, yeah. I'm really going for broke.
Yes, yes. Yeah. The other question, one thing we said, you know, Megan and I were very surprised that the men in this movie were not trash. And that's just in general. I just, you know, that could just be where we're coming from emotionally. But also, you know, in Lifetime movies, often, you know, men are the predators.
Yes.
And so obviously we love flipping that, but also to not just have them not be predators, but Scott's actually supportive. Dan actually tries, you know, honey, he's painted into
a
corner.
He did what he could do.
He does what he could do.
He just loves her. I think he knows he'll never get a woman as hot as her, and he's like, I gotta stay.
That's it. Yeah. That's it.
Yeah. Definitely.
That's it. He really felt like he was, like, upgrading. Jay-Z and Beyonce.
Which, I mean, we have eyes, he was. If anything, that's a red flag. You go, Lisa, right. Come on, who's this guy?
Exactly, exactly. No, this is about
he's
power.
He's a lovely man.
This
he's
is about power
man.
And control. No, it's about power. But do you was that a conscious decision? Was there really a lot of thought in making the male characters useful?
The conversation was more about like making sure that the women mm-hmm. were like empowered in these relationships.
Oh,
and
okay.
So like, so that they were, even though Lisa had decided that she was going to make the choice to stay with Miles before she, you know, went back to work, like that was her choice. It wasn't mm-hmm. because Scott
right,
was like,
right.
you will mm-hmm. stay home and be right. with Miles. She was like, all right, playa, I'm putting my career on pause so that we can transition here, but I'm yes. getting back to real estate.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And I loved the fact that these women were not secondary in their marriages.
Right.
That they were active participants and like leaders in those relationships. And like that was more important than like making Dan like in on it.
Right.
No, that's it's like it's kind of more refreshing this way.
Exactly.
Of like, oh, it's just one crazy lady. I think we need a sequel because I yes. want to know what like are
the
there
next
kids
people who move in? It yeah. ends with another family moving
yeah,
in.
Yeah, that's right. And like
horrifying.
The cycle and so Miles isn't at Dorothy Peacock anymore. Like, is he okay now that
he's not eating his turkey avocado pinwheels?
Right.
He's not eating.
Did he start to really get a penchant for macaroni and cheese? I mean, these yes. are questions that need to be answered.
Right. And also, you know, can we also talk about Susie and Drea, our lesbian couple? I mean, we need them in the sequel. But also,
they're
like,
your faves. We love them too.
I loved, first of all, we said curly hair representation, magical.
Yes.
But also yes. just to have a lesbian couple and to just have them be friends with our main characters. Mm-hmm. And it's not centered on their sexuality, but it didn't seem like it was denying it either. You know,
right.
like it's a fine, it's like, we want to see it, but then it's like, the only thing you can be is gay, but no.
Right.
Susie and Drea.
And it's so interesting that Lisa doesn't prey on Susie or Drea.
Right.
She picks Karen.
Yeah.
And that she, that Susie kind of didn't know about. That was always
right.
my question. It's like,
right.
so the people, like you weren't friends with the neighbors that were there before because
right.
that's why she's why they moved out.
Right.
And you clearly were not that friendly of a neighbor, but you saw pretty Jamie Lynn and wanted to be like her too. Maybe Susie's in on it.
Exactly.
Who knows?
Exactly. Because that's what I felt too. Because I was like, you've lived here a while and it seems like you just figuring out Lisa. And
mm-hmm.
then when Susie admits, she's like, I don't want to be next. It's like, so you did know, okay?
And you left me out to dry.
She's
Susie,
one of those,
I got your number.
Exactly.
I got your number, Susie.
She doesn't want, she's that kind of person. She's always like, you can see her being like looking away. She's looking away. She doesn't want to get mm-hmm. involved. Like, she's that kind of, like, if you put her on that show, what would you do? You know what I mean?
She'd
Susie
walk
would
by.
Do. She walked by. Susie will walk by. She
walk
ain't
by.
Getting in your
mm-hmm.
business. Mm-hmm. And that is, you know, ah, my God, Susie, I was like very mad at her, actually. I was
yeah.
mad that she was so weak.
How long did this movie take to make?
Principal photography was 16 days. So
what?
It was fast.
That's
you
really
gave
fast.
Me a full movie in 16 days. Are you Tyler Perry?
Yeah,
this is very Tyler Perry of you.
Most of our movies for Lifetime, we shoot them in 3 to 4 weeks.
Oh my
awesome.
God. Michael. Thank you so much for talking to us. You've given us so much to use for our own Lifetime script, as well as, you know, just further understanding the depths, the 16-day magic that was created to bring us Neighbor in the window.
Yes.
You're Superman.
16 days, 92 pages, 16 days.
Wow. Ooh. Quick. Before you go, I do think just for Naomi and my future careers, it would
yeah.
be
yes.
good. I'm gonna tell you I have Parkinson's,
yeah.
and then Naomi is going to try her hand at informing you that you have she has Parkinson's.
I'm ready.
Okay, so
okay.
I'll go
okay.
first.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I have Parkinson's.
Okay.
I'm ready.
Okay, I'm gonna. Michael, I didn't want to have to tell you this, you know, because I don't want you to feel pity for me, but I have Parkinson's. Thank you. Thank you. You know, we've So, you know, Michael, which one was your favorite?
I will say, Megan, you booked Megan.
Wow! Is that because she's a white woman in a cardigan, Michael?
It was a scary eye contact that really did it in for me.
Thank you.
It was unwavering.
Okay.
I've had many lovers in the patch bring up that unwavering, scary eye contact. It's a trademark of mine.
Well, I'm glad to join the number.
Okay, I'll call my coach. Obviously, I've got a lot to work on.
Thank you, Michael.
But you were close, sis.
We are so excited to continue watching your masterpieces.
Yes.
They're here for you. They're here for you. Bye, y'all.
Bye.
I'm so livid that Michael would say you did it better. And
I was genuinely shocked.
Wasn't amazing. Okay, not that it wasn't great. It's just like, Michael. Michael, how you gonna be a black man not lifting me up?
I know.
It's all I've ever wanted is a Lifetime starring vehicle.
Where I lie about having Parkinson's.
All right, guys, now we're about to go on an amazing journey, okay? So you need to just mark your cows, get ready. We're reposting the episode where we covered the first Harry and Meghan film, Harry and Meghan, A Royal Romance. Then we'll have an all-new episode covering the second movie in the series, Harry and Meghan, Becoming Royal. Meghan, you want to give us a little tease of what we can expect in that second one?
Absolutely. Okay, so it follows Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, duh, as they go through the joys and challenges of life inside the royal family during their pivotal first year of marriage and the planning of the wedding, which is very exciting. Beyond blending their families and cultures, Harry and Meghan's core values are put to the test as they try to find the balance between honoring royal tradition and staying true to their beliefs.
And this is all in the lead up to a major Lifetime movie premiere on September 6th at 8 p.m., for the third movie called Escaping the Palace. And not only will we be covering this movie on this very podcast the night the movie is released, but yours truly, along with the inimitable Megan Gailey, will also be on TV talking about it.
Yes, you heard that correct. We are going to be on the television on Lifetime for the entire day. Wow! Starting at 1 p.m. on Monday, September 6th. Yes, that is Labor Day, and it's a holiday in our hearts, too. We are going to be your guides to all royal movies, along with special guests such as royal expert Kinsey Schofield, who will spill some tea about the royals. We're watching with you William and Kate, the first two Harry and Meghan movies we already told you about, and then we interviewed the lead actors in Harry and Meghan Escaping the Palace, Sydney Morton and Jordan Dean, before the world premiere of the movie.
Honestly, Meghan, I feel like we should call it I Love a Royal Lifetime Movie. You know what I mean? Because, like, clearly with all the Harry and Meghan things we're covering, we're obsessed.
I cannot wait for us to be on TV! All right, bye!
I love a Lifetime movie. If you love Lifetime movies as much as we do, tune into Lifetime and LMN to watch all the new and classic movies that we can't get enough of. Check your local listings to find out what's airing on Lifetime and LMN, because it just might be the movie we talk about next.
This podcast would not be possible if it was just Naomi and me, for sure.
Absolutely not.
I Love a Lifetime Movie is produced by Julie Magruder.
Our sound mixer is Arjun Sheth.
Executive produced by Jesse Katz and Ted Butler.
With original music by Blake Maples.
And hosted by Naomi and Meghan.
Us. I mean, you should know that by now. If you've gotten to this point, you should know that we're the host, okay?
It feels like we don't even need to say it, but we'll put ourselves in the credits.